We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Bless the Lord. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, once again we say thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. Now, Lord, meet us in the text. Tell the truth that we're teaching, that the Holy Ghost might meet us where we are and lift us to the place you'd have us to be. For your glory and our good, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, number 119, we shall commence reading at verse 65. Psalms number 119, beginning at verse 65, recorded are these words. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, the aftermath of afflictions. The aftermath of affliction. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we ask the question, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? We ask the Lord the question, Lord, why me? There are times in our lives when we misunderstand, misrepresent, many times mistake what God has said or what God has meant or what God has done. And sometimes we unjustly accuse God of what the devil has done. And sometimes we give glory to God or to the devil for what God has done. And so many times it isn't until we have gone through things that we see them with a better or a purified or an even perfect vision. Many of you heard the expression, hindsight is 20/20. If I knew then what I know now. Well, let me go back to the old school for just a minute. If I could turn back the... How many times we wished we could undo what we have done. And so sometimes we don't realize that the bought sense, though it might have cost us a lot, sometimes is the best sense. The word is Romans 8:28, and we know, talking about the mature born again believers, the brothers and sisters in Christ, that all things work together for good. Now there is a reason why they work together for good, and all is inclusive of every bad experience, every good experience, every right experience, every wrong experience, everything that's pleasant, everything that's unpleasant, everything that's filled with joy, everything that's filled with sorrow, all of your ups and all of your downs, all of your middays and all of your midnights, everything that you've experienced as a born-again believer, God has allowed it to work ultimately for your good. How many of us, if we honestly could, if we could go back in our lives, would extract, would cross out, would take away every bad thing that's happened to us? But how many of us honestly would say that had you not experienced some of those things, you wouldn't be the person you are today? And so you cannot grow without pain. You cannot develop without some disturbances in your life and some things that unseat your peace. But yet you've got to understand God is still good in spite of all of those things. Look at what the psalmist says, because as I was reading through this and meditating upon this and researching this, there were some interesting things I found. First thing he says is in verse 65, thou hast dealt well with thy servant. And he qualifies who he's talking to, O Lord. Now look at how he considers that he has been dealt well with. He says, according unto thy word. Now when you begin to realize, again, God has dealt well with us according to his word, may I again just poll the audience and ask, do you really think God has dealt with you the way that you deserve him to deal with you? No, no. But he has, because his word says that he's merciful, that he's loving, that he's continually watching over us and in spite of us blessing us. And so when we begin to realize that he has done well with us according to his word and not according to what we deserve, truth of the matter is none of us in this place today, regardless of where you are, how old you are, or what your status in life may be, none of us would be here today had he honestly dealt with us according to our own doings. So it's because of his own word that he has held himself restrained from doing what he could have done. The psalmist says in Psalm 35 that in his favor is life. He chooses over us and all of the things that we have done that go against his word, his will, and his way, he chooses to see the life, the best, the upper part, the better part, the brighter part of us and our future, rather than to magnify or deal with those things that are not like him. He chooses that. That's the only reason why we have another chance, another day, another opportunity. Because God chooses life, and to give us that life more abundantly. Look again at what he says. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Look at this. He starts off again in verse 65 by saying, in view of the afflictions that I've suffered, all I see or choose to see or prefer to focus on is God's goodness. Now, you know, there are things that happen to us in our lives, things that we deserve, some things we don't deserve, some things that we don't understand, and we ask the question why. And instead of saying, Lord, show me what it is you want me to see, teach me what you want me to know, help me to understand, we either become bitter at God or the circumstances, not realizing that if it has come your way as a believer, that it had to first pass by God. And that God ultimately designed it for you to be better, not bitter. So in understanding that, you go through, as the psalmist has stated here, some things that he has dealt with through affliction, etc., and you'll see it more comfortably in the scripture in the 67th verse. But he makes clear this reality. He chooses to function and to focus on the good that God has shown him. Now, all of us can go back and we can stay and play and replay the bad of our lives, and it'll hurt us over and over and over again. And every time it hurts us, it makes us more bitter. It makes us more cynical, disillusioned, hard to get along with ourselves and then with others, because we choose to focus on the bad. But when we focus on the good, we realize that God has a greater plan for our lives. Look at this. So he says, teach me not judgment, but good judgment. And this word judgment in the Hebrew comes from the word proper taste. Proper taste. And it's interesting because it is the same word by which we determine the quality of things, whether it's sweet, whether it's bitter, whether it's sour, etc. It is applied to, listen again, the mind or the understanding. When it says, looking again at verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Now here is the sense here that we must understand. He says, God, when you teach me good judgment, I then will determine the quality of something, whether it is sweet, whether it's sour, whether it's bitter. Once I get that information and understand that information, I will properly apply that to the knowledge I have, which means then I will be able to determine the state of something, whether it is good or bad, right or wrong, evil or good, etc. And it's important to know good judgment, because good judgment helps you make good decisions. And see, you can have information, but if you don't have good judgment, you can't do justice to the information that you have. How many times have you gotten information and used bad judgment? Every hand ought to go up in here, otherwise you're using bad judgment because you're lying. And some of us, how many of us have made bad judgment call based on wrong or erroneous information? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, we will be real with ourselves when we ask God to help us make good judgment, to help us to properly taste things so that we can apply them properly to the knowledge that we've gained, so that we do justice to the judging process. And judging not in the sense of bringing guilt upon something or other, but rather to inspect it to make sure that it is what it is or it isn't what it isn't. Look again at what 67 says. Before I was afflicted, before I was afflicted. The Hebrew, this word afflicted means humbled. Before I was humbled, it gives you a whole different light here, because afflicted actually means test, trials, tribulations, and those things that bring you into a place of testing or trials. He says, before I went through the stuff I went through. And God, listen to this, is interesting. God will allow you to go through some stuff so that you can be humbled by the stuff you go through. I mean, sometimes we can think we all of that. We
miss the big stuff, miss whatever stuff, and all the rest of that stuff until God lets you go through some stuff. And then all that smack you were talking and all of that other stuff you were talking and trying to act like, God says, now let me see how you are now. Let me see you walk through this now. The world looks at you then and see whether or not you can handle the stuff that you've been saying and claiming, but now God has allowed you to be tested in. And it humbles us. It humbles us. Because it's one thing to give it, it's another thing to take it. It's a one thing, and many of us don't realize this, but it isn't until our afflictions come upon us that we can even begin to identify or even begin to feel or sense what someone else has gone through. You've never been hurt? You don't understand my pain. You've never been down? Don't tell me it's going to be all right if you've never been there and been back up again. If you don't know the experiences of persons who have been afflicted or who have been humbled by trials and tribulations and situations, then you could never know from an experiential standpoint what they share until you go through it yourself. See, folk who lie on folk don't really know the real effects of being lied on until somebody lies on them. And I'm talking about to a point where it messes with their character or reputation or how folk view them or see them or how folk feel about them. See, you don't understand it until you've been in the position you have put others in. Will God humble you? And when you begin to look at this thing, he's not complaining about his affliction. He's rather saying, God, I thank you that I see it from a different perspective now. Look again at what he says. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I'm not going to lie. I did not do everything I was supposed to do. I did not adhere to the word of God. I did not walk a chalk line. I was not all I ought to have been. I thought I could get away with everything. He goes on to make clear, before I was humbled, I did some stuff I'm not even pleased about. Before I was afflicted, and you see, a whole lot of folk don't understand that the reason why a whole lot of folks stop stuff is not because they get convicted by the Spirit, but because they get caught. Now, you can sit here and act holier than thou if you want to. But I promise you, a whole lot of stuff that's not right would continue on if you had not been discovered. And it's only then, after being discovered, do you sometime come to that point where you say, well, Lord, you know, I understand what you're doing. I accept what you're doing, because I realize had I been allowed to continue on, I would have ended up in destruction myself. And so a whole lot of folk don't recognize that God, and you ought to thank God, that he allows and uses those means and tools to bring you to a place of reckoning. He said, before I was afflicted, before I was humbled, I went astray. I went astray. That's a confession. I went astray. The word means to wander, to err, to do the wrong thing, to transgress. But notice again what he says in verse 68. Thou art good. Now he says in verse 68, thou art good, because of the last few words in verse 67. Look at this. He says, but now have I kept thy word. And see, you don't really know how good God is until you get in his word. I mean, because when you really get in his word, you realize you don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve his mercy, his kindness, his grace, his love, his favor. You don't deserve all these things. But when you get in the word and recognize and realize what he has paid for this privilege that you now enjoy, it is only then that the word brings you to that place of understanding. My God, it is by the grace of God that I am what I am, and I am here today, and I thank God because of his word. How many times have you read the word and seen yourself in the word? And I'm not talking about the good part of the word. And you know what he did to others. He could have done the same thing. Ananias and Sapphira ain't the only ones who done lied in the house of God. and lied about their giving and lied about what they've done and lied about their service. You got a whole lot of us who've come up in the church and pretended like we've given the Lord our best and our all and everything that he has given to us. And so far from the truth is that. But he didn't allow us to drop dead like he did them. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, I can walk through the Word and show you instance after instance that he did in the Word, but because of we being under grace now, because we are now in this unmerited favor, he has allowed some things for this moment, for this season, to help us that he did not allow before. When you read the Word, you begin to realize how blessed you really are. And do not adhere to it, God's going to deal with us first. Listen at this word, because I want you to see this. He says, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Now listen, that when he says God is good and he doeth good, he's really talking about manifested goodness. Manifested goodness, and he says, or do it good. That's manifested goodness or/and expressions. His expressions are good, the things he expresses to us individually and collectively. And then he's talking experientially that God is good based on what he's already experienced from God. Is there anybody in the house today who can say, I know for a fact God has been good to me? But listen at this. That's the past reality of his goodness. But can anybody in the house today say God is good to me? Is there been anybody in the house today who can say God will be good to me? An act of his expression, the manifested reality of the goodness that's yet to come. I know based on his past performance and my trust in his word that just as he blessed me when I didn't deserve it, now that I have been humbled and walk in his word, if I think I was blessed then, y'all don't hear me, the best is yet to come. Thank you, Jesus. Listen at this. Be seated. Listen at this. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me your word, your way, your will. Teach me how you do things. Those things that you have established as structure. Listen to what he says. He says, and I like this part, verse 69, the proud. And he's not talking about the Marines. He says, the proud. And simply stated, the proud are those whom he suffered from. Because there is a certain pride in the enemy thinking that he or she has gained some glory or some good or some power or some victory over you when they hurt you. It makes them feel like they have some power, even though it is a false sense of power, because the hurting that was done by them was inflicted upon you. But here is the thing that they don't know, that just because they inflicted it upon you doesn't mean that it remains a part of you. And so to understand that they're proud, but their proudness is not with a sense of security or with assurance that they have truly done what they've set out to do. Now, here's what he makes clear, and I like this because as I searched the word and looked at it, when he talked about the proud and how they are those persons who have caused pain and suffering and willingly did it, intentionally to hurt you. You know, you can hurt folk and don't realize that you've hurt them, or you've said some things or done some things and it wasn't your intention to hurt them. But then there are those who set out purposely, because they know your weakness and they know your heart and they know where you are and they know your stand, and they do it with the intent to try and afflict you and to inflict pain upon your heart. And he says they're proud about it. I told such and such, so and so this. Yeah, I got on this, or I told them this, or I did this, and I did, and proud about it. You know, you need to check yourself when you're proud about hurting anybody, especially those who are of the household of God. If you've got some sick desire in your mind to hurt a brother or sister intentionally, you need to check yourself, because the recompense of the pain you cause somebody else intentionally is going to be more than you can deal with. Somebody has said, true words are not always beautiful, and beautiful words are not always true. But when you tell the truth with the intent of truth being the supreme reality of you speaking, that's one thing. But when you do what you do in an intent to try and hurt someone, that's a whole nother story that God sees as something certainly that will be recompensed, repaid. Listen at this word. I want you to see this. The proud have forged a lie against me. Forged. One translation says besmeared. But the Holy Ghost brought me back to the word forged. And I looked up the word forged and saw in biblical context what it meant. And look at this, because I want you to get this together and see it here. When he talked about forge, it meant to patch together shreds, hints, small matters that are not connected, but that are brought together to appear as something it originally wasn't. Did somebody get that? When a person forges a lie against you, what they do is they take a little bit of truth. Oh, work with me, work with me. And they get hints of this from this, and little bit of insignificant matter from there. And they pull it from over here, and they pull that from over there, and they say, if all of this is all of that, then this must be this. Y'all ain't got to pray. I said, Lord, I understand what you mean now when you say that they have forged a lie. Because see, the whole thing about a lie is people believe it when it's got some little bit of truth in it. And somebody said, well, that is true. I do know that part is true. But what they don't know is all of the rest of the stuff they have put with it to try and make it the truth when it's a lie.